Where is your home? Yeah, where do you feel at home? And let me start by thanking Pilgrim Chris, and indirectly thanking Erin Mander, Ernie, because a little thread has begun through those two guys, and I'm now driving along a road in Ireland asking myself the question, you know, where do I feel at home? And maybe that's a question you have asked yourself more than once, and maybe at different times in your life even. Where do you feel at home? And so I'm going to share with you some thoughts about where I feel at home. And I have to say, I begin, Chris and Ernie, I begin with the experience of having been born at home in a house in Limerick, and that house continued to be owned by the family right the way through until the time it was sold off and knocked down and other houses were built on the site. So it was a long-term home. I lived in only one house from birth until, you know, I went off to university. And so that house, which is actually also called a fort, the name of it was called Fort Mary in Limerick. So I come from a pretty stable, well, a very exceptionally stable home place in terms of geography. But also, you know, I grew up in a household which wasn't torn apart by conflict and difficulties, and, you know, so in that sense, the physical house was associated with, you know, social stability, family stability, and, you know, that, so that has kind of formed my sense of home. Now, I suppose it could have rendered me the kind of person, or could have made me into the kind of person who would have found it immensely difficult to leave that home and go off to, you know, live somewhere else. And I might have cleaved to that background, but I didn't. Did I feel at home in Limerick? I did and I didn't. I would say as a child I didn't fully appreciate, or didn't appreciate half enough, how privileged an upbringing I had, what a peculiarly unusual amount of space I grew up in, you know, how much was laid on for me without me having to do anything. I mean, I didn't grow up a very grateful person, really. I suppose I have to say I probably took it for granted, and I focused on what I didn't have. So I wasn't allowed to go out of the house, out of the, not just the house, but the grounds of the house. I wasn't allowed to go out and play on the street in as much as my friends were. So in that sense, my upbringing was regarded by me as restricted, you know, rule-bound, lots of rules, how long I was allowed out for, what time I had to be back at. And so my childhood was always in a kind of a, well, it'd be too strong to say a love-hate relationship with home. But I think that even though I might have quibbled and had, you know, my own feelings of discomfort, in comparison with the vast majority of humankind, I had an extremely comfortable and stable home life. That must have had some effect on me, I'm not sure what, but when I went off, you know, I left Limerick and I went to Dublin. I was very keen to go to university in Dublin or to get away from Limerick. Was I at home in Hatch Hall on Hatch Street in a university residence for 2 years? I was home enough there. It was my first bit of a travelling home, I suppose. But it wasn't right. It wasn't the ultimate. It wasn't the one that I was, you know, if I was seeking a home, I hadn't found it yet. was I at home in Fitzwilliam Square, on the top floor of number 20 Fitzwilliam Square in Dublin, in a flat with three other guys, two bedrooms and two beds in each, two single beds in each, and was I at home there? I was at home enough, I guess. It was, I have, looking back on it. But did I feel that this was the place I wanted to stay? No, I never did. Was I at home in Waterloo Road in Dublin? Was I at home on Pembroke Road in Pembroke Street in Dublin? Those places that I lived before I left and went, before I left Dublin and went to London? No, I had that same kind of, none of them were a disaster, none of them caused me traumatic nights, even if they, even if they were not, and Waterloo Road was, if I was to describe Waterloo Road to you, and I was to compare it with the house I grew up in, you would kind of say, look, Paul, how could you possibly adapt to living in a place where, for example, there was a door of a house, an internal door of a house, we'll say, operating as a tabletop above a bath. You know, that was the kitchen. The kitchen had a bath in it, and in order to have a bath, you had to take off the off the door. I want you to think of a door not as something that's fixed on a hinge, but as a piece of flat wood. So I'm not trying to go over, you know, oh God, I had a really tough time in Waterloo Road, because it was perfectly fit for the kind of life I was living at the time. It was, I certainly didn't feel, you know, in the wrong place. Was I at home in Hornsey Rise in London? Was I at home in Fitzjohn's Avenue in London? Was I at home in Prince of Wales Road in London? Was I at home in Torriano Avenue in London? Just to start with those first four from 1975, 76, 77 maybe. Anyway, was I at home in any of those places? No. Above all, was I at home in Lordship Road in Stoke Newington? Was I at home there? Opposite the Jewish synagogue where people went in every Friday night? I loved that place in terms of its location and its sort of closeness to the synagogue. That's another story. Why should I be naturally, you know, keen to be around Jewish people? I don't know why. No good reason really that I can think of. But was I at home there? I was certainly at home in London. Never mind the physical location of the place. I was at home in London in its anonymity, in the fact that nobody knew me. I could go out in the streets and nobody would come up to me and say, hello, Paul, met your brother yesterday or your mother yesterday. No, I was at home in the anonymity of the streets of London. Was I at home in Hackney? Was I at home in Bethnal Green? Was I at home in London Fields? I was at home in London. And to this day, I was felt so much like London was my home. And in London, in its village, in its village type experience. You know, a whole load of villages, actually, London is, really. If you live in, I don't know, if you live in Shepherd's Bush, you know darn well that you don't live in Bethnal Green. And, you know, London is like that. They're both London, but they're yonks apart. So you would sort of say I was carrying my sense of home with me, I suppose. It certainly got internalized. But what I also discovered was that the thing that Shakespeare speaks about so clearly, that mine can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. So I learned that it's up to me to construct my home. It isn't given to me. I construct it. It's a constructed image. It's a constructed feeling. It's an artistic achievement to find a home. That isn't a thought, really. That's just gradually as my experience. I mean, like everybody else, I suppose, like we all, we want to feel at home, we want to be happy, we want to be satisfied, we want to be this, we want to be that. But I have, for as long back as I can remember now, I felt that that's my job, is to make myself happy, make myself satisfied, make a satisfying place, make a home. I'm a homemaker. It'll never be given to me. But I then discovered that, you know, I was so much at home in London. You know, you think, well, I'd never be able to leave London. And then I got, you know, made redundant in London. And, you know, depending on how you spin it, I had to leave London. And I went to live in the West Country, in the UK, in Wiltshire. So, you know, was I at home in Bradford-on-Avon? Was I at home in Bath? Yeah, I was. I loved Bradford-on-Avon. Loved it. Love it to this moment. Great, great place to live. I could bore the pants off you about how much at home I... No, I felt myself at home in London, even though, you know, I got my marriage, my first marriage, the cracks in it came through in London. The pain of it came through in London. The struggle of it came through in London. Realized in Bradford-on-Avon. Moving house in from one house to the other as a result of the divorce settlement. That... Was I at home in the new house? I was. I became at home in the new house. The cheapest house I could have bought. The least expensive house in Bradford-on-Avon. I was at home there. I could, again, bore the pants off you about what a wonderful place that was. And mean it. Was I at home in the terrace in Bath? Was I at home in Weston in Bath? Oh yeah, definitely. Was it my ultimate resting place? No, my ultimate resting place is a graveyard. I've worked that out actually at one stage. It wouldn't have been so easy to say that. I would have said perhaps my ultimate resting place is going to be, you know, in a jar, and it's going to be scattered on the South Downs, or it's going to be scattered on Beachy Head, or it's going to be scattered on, you know, the 12th tee in anywhere. Home I've made. I'm a homemaker, I think. Doesn't mean that I've always, you know, made stable social homes. You know, I've made a home and we've broken up. Made a home and people have moved on. Am I at home in Cork? Was I at home when I went to live in Cork first in a housing estate where I'd never lived in a housing estate before in my life? Was I at home there? Yeah, I was. I kind of... But did I know I was going to move on? Yeah. So I think the answer is home is, for me, home is a litany. Home is a litany of places where I've been, rested, where I've struggled, where I've fought, where I've had difficulties, where I've had challenges, where I've had problems, where it's been naughty enough to be memorable. I think it is kind of places that have presented challenges, and or places in which I have been presented challenges. That's where I have made a home. And the home has been about the addressing of that challenge. I mean, was I at home as a bus conductor on the back of a 68 bus coming over Waterloo Bridge at midnight and looking up and down the Thames, both left and right from the upstairs in the bus, looking at the people, the diversity of people in the London bus? Was I at home there? Well, you bloody well... Yes, of course I was. Of course I was. And David Bailey in Bosnia will understand a little bit about this, because he and I have, via audiobook, touched on the London bus experience. Was I at home in that job as a bus conductor? And we won't go there, right? Because that's another issue. And Chris, Pilgrim Chris, and I think Aaron Mander, whose audiobook I must listen to next. They're dwelling on the place, the sense of place, rather than, you know, at home in a job or anything like that. But it is one of those great phrases, to be at home, that humans have, you know. Heart, home and heart. There are two words that immediately I associate with them as being words that attract all human beings. I have a hypothesis that in every language in the world, that the word home and the word heart are dearly loved as words by the people who speak that language. Yeah. Home. Will I be buried in Cork? Will I die in Cork? Will I stay where I am for the rest of my life? How do I know? I have no idea. I can say I have no active plans to leave Cork. Would it bother me if somebody said to me, Paul, you must leave Cork? Of course it would bother me. The relationships I have, my first concern would be, oh my God, that means I won't be able to do this and that with this or that person, you know? And I've been so fortunate in Cork to have people have been good to me, people have talked to me, people have stretched out a friend of handship. I'm just rambling now. So I'm going home again. I'm going back home. I've actually, one other feature on this topic is that my two boys, my older children, they left home. Soon after they left school, I was very pleased that they left home. I've been pleased that they have moved on, that they have, I've always been, from the earliest age, I look forward to my daughter leaving home, because I'm curious about where she'll go to. And was I happy when my son went to Scotland? Yes. Was I happy when he went to Sweden? Yes. Was I happy when he went to Afghanistan? Yes. Was I happy when he went to Brazil? Yes. Was I happy when he went to wherever? Yes, I was. Was I happy when my son went to Italy? Was I happy when my son went to Spain? Was I happy when my son went to United States? And he was a traveling troupe actor. He is an actor. You know, so it's like, do I want to keep everybody together in the same place? No. No, I don't. No. I'm, you know, just as I wanted to leave Limerick when I was young, to grow up. It's part of the symbol of growing up. I suppose I wanted my children to leave home to grow up. I used to say to them, look, you have a roof over your head here till you're 18. But the bed and breakfast prices kick in very high from your birthday on. You know, I know, I can't remember exactly what I said, but, you know, a lot of Irish people have travelled in over the years in history. I mean, I think it is a natural thing, or it's a relatively normal thing for Irish people to travel and spread the gene pool in other parts of the world, if you like. So home, yeah. Well, I think I'm doing no more than dwelling on the dwelling that is home. Where are you at home? Where do you feel at home? Where do you feel most at home? Well, before we get to naming places and saying things, what does home mean for you as a meaning maker? You make meaning of your life. We make meaning of our lives, you know. You make meaning of your life. I know that. You know that. So, you know, building a home is one of the blocks of making meaning. I can be nothing but incredibly grateful, I think, that solid physical building that was owned by my father, into which